Wow, what a great week at VBS you guys had. Was that fun?
Yeah.
Who said no? The leaders said no. I think the leaders are ready for a little break now, which I'm so thankful that they were able to help out and to do those kinds of things. So thank you so much, Stacy and Allison and Shelley, and I know if I name everybody, I'm going to forget people. And Alma and everyone else who helped. I know I missed other people. Nariza, who else? Erica Mager. Lots of people helped. And I'm so thankful that our church is so focused on kids. And that's our mission statement, that we're focused on these kids. And it's a wonderful thing to see these kinds of things materialize. And I know that we're not going to ask our leaders if they want to lead out next year, because they'll say an immediate no right now. But we'll wait a couple weeks and then we'll say, what are we going to do for next year's VBS? We'll do that. Well, the five points that they looked at in Joseph's life, from prison to palace, five things. God gives us, real quick, guys, let's run them down. God gives us hope. God gives us special abilities. God gives us wisdom. God gives us forgiveness. And God gives us a family. God gives us a family. And I think that each one of us, adults included, teenagers included, we can each learn from each of these points of what God gives us. Hope. Think about it. If we didn't have hope, what in life is there to look forward to? I've heard stories, I've read stories of people who've been lost at sea, either from an airplane that went down or their boat capsized and so they're in a little dinghy, or they get swept out to sea with a rip current on a little fishing boat. And they're out at sea for months and months on end. And they have to eat birds that they catch that land on their raft. And they fish for fish. They catch fish with a little hook that maybe they have. Or maybe they've got some chocolate bars. Yeah. But those are eaten up pretty quickly. And so as their bodies are there getting scorched by the sun and cooking in the sun, and the salt water is burning their lips, and they want just fresh water, and every so often they'll get rain. But the thing that keeps them going is hope. And you know, Joseph had some pretty discouraging things that happened in his life, didn't he? He was the favored son. He had a coat of multiple colors, a rainbow-colored coat. How many of you guys have different colored coats? Yeah? Multicolored, only two colors, one or two colors. But they say, the Bible says this was a multicolored coat, and he was the favored son. What do you think that did to his brothers and his brothers that were there? Did they like him? Yeah. They were pretty jealous. And his ability to have these dreams that foretell the future, that only added to the flame of, oh, you say, I think you're better than us, Joseph? We'll show you. He got thrown into a pit and sold by his own family. Is that pretty discouraging? Yeah, you don't want that to happen to you, do you? Pretty discouraging. But God gave him hope as he was sitting there after working in Potiphar's house and then getting thrown into prison. Again, you know that Joseph was the first prisoner mentioned in the Bible. In prison. But God gave him hope. And God can give us hope no matter what situation we are in. And then as Joseph goes from the prison, and God gives him the special ability to interpret dreams. He first interpreted dreams of two people in the prison. Who were the two guys in the prison? One of them. The butler. And who was the other one? The baker. So the cupbearer and the baker. And he interpreted their dreams, and one was glorified, or one was promoted, and the other guy, he was executed. But Joseph, he told the, I believe it was the butler who was promoted, right? Told the butler, remember me when you go back to Pharaoh's service. Well, he remembered him 2 years later. Took a little while, didn't it? Took him 2 years as he was sitting in prison, again, waiting for that hope, waiting for that time that Joseph could be released from prison. But God gave him those special abilities, and God can use our special abilities. How many of you guys, how many of you can run? How many of the adults can run? Huh? Come on, come on. I know there's others out there that can run. Some are kind of like, I don't know, kind of. How many can, Winslow, I didn't see your hand go up. How about walk? How many can walk? Okay. How many can walk? How many can talk? How many can hear things? How many have a gift of music? Anderson, are you listening? Your hand didn't go up. I didn't see you. Okay, thank you. And Ms. Darumple? Oh, thank you. Okay. How many of you have the gift of a hug? Can you just give a hug to somebody? Huh? Anybody. Just reach over and touch somebody in a nice way. Students, I know we're on summer break, but careful with how much touching you do. Still. Ronnie and Kaylin? Yeah, okay, sure. Friends. But we can encourage people by the special abilities that God has given us. And that's what it's all about. The verse, what was the verse again? Who had our verse? Was that Cooper? You had the verse? Which one? The second day, special abilities. Romans 12:6. In his grace, God has given us what?
Special abilities.
For doing certain things well. And that's so that we can touch people with God's love. And each one of us have that opportunity to do that. Maybe it's a special prayer. I don't know. This morning I was blessed by Elder Jim's prayer up here this morning. I was blessed by that. Maybe for young people, it's just an encouraging smile. Can you smile? You can't smile, Emery? You can't smile? I see you smiling. A smile can bring joy to someone's day as well. And so those simple, special things that God has given us that ability, we can encourage others in that way. And now as Joseph had that special ability, he was taken out of prison and promoted to the second in command. God gave him that wisdom to save the country. And the verse that goes along with that day, who had that verse up here this morning? Who gave us James 1:5? Was that Dana Rose? Yeah, that was such a special verse. If any of us needs wisdom, ask God, our generous God, and he will give it to you. Now, there's a lot of decisions that young people have to make these days, even kids these days. What are some of the decisions you guys have to make this morning?
To listen and obey
the first time. That's a good decision. That's a good one. James?
What to wear.
What to wear today? Do I want to put on a gray shirt or a white shirt? Right? Quentin, what's the decision you had to make? Which music piece to do for this offering special music? Yeah, yeah. Jonathan?
To go to
Sabbath school? I think that'd be a wise choice. Yeah, definitely. He's back there. Micah, what's a decision you had to make today?
Legos.
Which Legos to play with? I saw you not playing with Legos this morning. You were playing with all your crafts this morning. But maybe a decision that some of our young people have to make are, do I want to eat Fruit Loops or Raisin Bran for breakfast?
Fruit Loops.
Or toast or waffles? And so maybe, here's the thing, maybe some of the decisions that our kids have to make are not very big decisions in our eyes as adults, but in their eyes it's big. Well, I wanted toast and not waffles. Well, how do you react to that decision? You know, some of the decisions that your parents have to make these days are big decisions. What car should I buy? What house should I live in? Which friends should I be friends with? Where should I do for my job? Big decisions that as adults and as high schoolers who've just graduated as well have to make decisions that affect more than just ourselves also. And so here's the thing that we can remember from this day, that God gives us wisdom, the Bible verse that he gives us. If we have forgotten where that wisdom comes from, we need to ask God. Because he's the one who wants to give us that wisdom generously. And he's willing to give us that heavenly wisdom, things that the world thinks is foolishness. The wisdom of God is foolishness in men's eyes, but it's powerful, it's mighty. God's wisdom is amazing. So let's ask God. And then as Joseph was wise, he took a fifth of the grain, stored it away for those times of famine. And so when famine came, those 7 years of famine came, people were able to eat and not go hungry. Do you like to go hungry?
Yeah.
It's no fun to go hungry because I know that people get cranky when they go hungry. Kids do, and so do adults. How many of you get cranky when you're hungry? Go ahead, admit it. Admit it, yeah. You lose that blood sugar, you get cranky. But Joseph was wise enough that he put the grain away and he saved the country. And when he saved the country, the famine stretched for over 200 miles up into Canaan, where his family was located. And his family had to come, and they had to come, and they had to get grain from Egypt. Now, what happened? Remember back earlier in the story, what happened to Joseph and his brothers? Were Joseph's brothers nice to Joseph?
No.
Do you think Joseph could have said, "Oh, tam tam tiza," which is Egyptian for "you get no grain," to his brothers when his brothers came? Do you think that Joseph could have done that? Did he? He didn't. He instead, he said, "You are spies! Put them all in prison." So they all went to prison for a couple days, and then they came out, and they kept back Simeon. They said, now if you really say who you are, go home and bring your youngest brother back here. And they said, no, oh, general or governor, no. Our father would die. Well, you must bring him back, or Simeon will not live. He will stay a prisoner forever. So they went back, and they talked with Jacob. And finally, they decided they had to go back and get more grain and more food, and they brought Benjamin with them. And Joseph said, here you are again. Now, Joseph, of course, was kind of concealed from them. They didn't know this was really Joseph. Maybe he had shaved his head or something. I don't know. But he looked different. He was kingly. He was like a pharaoh almost. But Joseph actually ended up forgiving his brothers and his family for the wrong that they did to him. They let the whole family go back, except they put the silver cup in whose bag of grain?
Benjamin's
sack of grain. And the servant said, "Whoever has stolen my master's cup will be his slave for the rest of his life." Well, the whole rest of the brothers were discouraged and saddened when they found the grain, the silver cup in Benjamin's grain. And so the whole family went back to Joseph, and they and Judah, the oldest brother, pleaded and said, "Let me be a prisoner instead of Benjamin." It's an amazing lesson of substitutionary atonement that we can learn there as well.
Daddy.
That was for the adults who under, big words. But someone takes our place like Jesus took our place. And that's when Benjamin broke down and he realized, my brothers are changed men. And he forgave them. And he revealed to them who he was. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. When you've been forgiven. Now, Pastor John's been forgiven many, 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 many times. Some things I'm okay talking about. Some things I don't want to talk about. But here's something we can talk about. I got a question for you kids. Do your parents ever drive fast? Only 5 to 10 over the speed limit. Okay, well, that's better than 15 or 20. Well, Pastor John has driven too fast sometimes. I've slowed down a little bit more in my old age. But one time I was driving up to Sunset Lake Camp in Wilkinson, Washington, across the mountains. And I wasn't paying attention when I drove into the little old town of Wilkinson. And I was going like 10 or 15 over. And I got pulled over. And the officer said, "Excuse me, do you know what you were doing?" I said, "I don't know. I was talking with my friend here, and I just forgot that the speed limit had changed." "License and registration, please." They went through the whole regular old spiel, went back to his car and checked us out and everything, and came back and he said, all right, well, I'll let you go this time, but watch your speed. I was forgiven. It's great to be forgiven. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. And when someone asks you for forgiveness, have you ever been angry at your brother or your sister and you punch them or hit them or do something wrong or say something mean to them? And then your parents say, ask for forgiveness now. And what do you have to say? I'm sorry. And the person who's offended, they say, I forgive you. Sometimes it's kind of forced. But you got to realize that when we hurt people, it hurts them. And we need to ask for forgiveness. And when we're forgiven, sometimes our parents have to ask for forgiveness too, right? Because sometimes parents do things that aren't right. But ultimately, we have broken the laws before. We have done wrong before. And when we ask for forgiveness, God forgives us also. And that's a wonderful thing. So Joseph had his family there. He forgave them. He said, why don't you all come and live with me? There's still 5 more years of famine. I know that you don't have to make that 200-mile trip. It's going to be hard on Dad, on Jacob, to make that 200-mile trip every time to come get grain. Why don't you just all move to be near me? And I will give you a plentiful land, the land of
Egypt
and Goshen. Yes, land of Goshen in Egypt. And so that's what happened. If you know the story in Genesis, Jacob and his family moved to Egypt with Joseph. And there they lived plentifully. They were shepherds in the land of Goshen. They were a family together. Now, when we talk about family today, my family is pretty big. We've got, in my own family, we've got my mom and my dad. We call them, what do we call them, Micah?
Dad.
No, my mom and dad.
Nani.
And Nani and Papa. And then we call my wife's mom and dad,
Grandpa.
Grandma and Grandpa, okay? So we've got the grandparents, our parents. And then we've got, on my side, we've got my sister and her family, which is a husband and 2 kids. And then we've got the 5 of us. So when we're all together, there's 11 of us. You follow that math? Gladding, you follow it? Okay. And then if we go onto my wife's side of the family, we got Grandpa and Grandma. And then we've got my wife's sister and her family, husband and 2 kids. And then we've got my wife's other sister and other brother who are not married. And so, Gladden, where's my math on that one? Okay, you can't count that high? The school's out, I know. That's okay. 13 or so? So there's a lot. Yeah, because we have the 2 extra siblings. There's a lot if we have all of us together. Like sometimes for baby dedications or something, we've done that. All of us have come together. Now, if we go even further, on my dad's side, there are 8. He's number 7 of 8 brothers and sisters. And one of his brothers has 8. That's my Uncle Joe. Got 8 kids. If we go back even further than that, my grandmother is number 9 of 9. So that's a lot of kids, a lot of family. And when we talk about family, you can think of your own family that have grandparents and parents and aunts and uncles and cousins and second cousins and third cousins, twice removed and once removed and all sorts of things. Big family. Now, sometimes our families don't look the way that we hope that they would look. We have family members that pass or move or whatever happens. They might die or those kinds of things. That's not how God had it planned. God wanted us to be a part of a big family so that we can love one another and feel loved and all these kinds of things. I think the best application to relate Joseph's story to our stories today is that someday, very soon, Jesus is going to return and he's going to move our family to be with him. Because each one of us, as we have chosen Jesus, as we follow Jesus, we become children of God through faith in Jesus, as Galatians 3 tells us. And sometimes in church, we'll even do this. We'll call each other brother and sister. Ah, there's Brother Fred behind you. Not Pastor Fred, that's Brother Fred. Actually, to you guys, it's more like Grandpa Fred. Yeah? Or Grandpa Marvin. Maybe more like Grandpa Marvin. But we each call each other Sister Randall or Brother Plata, or whatever the case might be. Sometimes in churches we do that, especially, I notice it a lot more in the southern states. If you've ever traveled to the southern states, I notice it more there. Sometimes up here in the northwest we do that. Because we're one big happy family. As we are loving one another and as we are committed to Jesus, we are each children of God. And it doesn't matter your age, you are still a child of God. And Jesus is going to come someday. He's going to take us home and move us to be at home with him where we can have that love and that joy forever. So aren't there some wonderful things that God does for us? He gives us hope. He gives us special abilities. He gives us wisdom. He gives us forgiveness. And he gives us a family. That's incredible. Well, I want to know, does somebody from the VBS, so does somebody want to pray for us? So as we conclude this service, thanking God for all the wonderful things he's done for us. How about two of you guys? Okay? So Cooper and Jonathan, why don't you guys come on up here? And we've got the microphone. See? Why don't you guys come up here on the step right there? And let's have prayer as we conclude our service and thank God for all of his goodness to us.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. And please help us that we have all safety going home and going to Montana and back and forth. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for everything you've done for us today. Thank you for bringing us all here. And you have brought us here for a purpose. And you always help us when we're in trouble. Please help us to never be bad to anyone. Thank you for all of our moms and dads. Thank you for all the kids. Thank you for a good VBS. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.